All right, well, we're continuing talking about believers who bless. I want to remind you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. He says, love your enemies. Okay, well, I'm already tripped up. Don't have to go any further. Lord, forgive me. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. So when we talk about blessing, what does that mean? How do we bless? Well, we bless with our words. It's what we talked about last week, to speak well of. When people are saying all kinds of evil and lying about you and all this kinds of things, to speak well of, to bless them, that can be difficult. But we bless with our words. We bless with our generosity. We bless with our serving. There are many ways to bless, even under duress. As we saw from 1 Peter last week, that we are called to do this. Particularly in those situations, we are called to bless people. Today we're going to talk about the power of touch. The power of touch. We're going to read several verses here to begin with, but I'm going to start off in Mark chapter 8. In verse 22 it says, Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought to him... they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, everybody say yuck. But I've learned if Jesus wants to spit in my face, bring it on. Because it's gonna help. Now, if you want to spit in my face, you know, okay, I'll wince a little bit. When he'd spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. In other words, they're all blurry. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, very quickly, I want us to compare some of the other instances in this gospel, Mark's Gospel of Mark, of Jesus touching people and people touching Jesus, okay? We'll go through this quickly. Starting in chapter 1. Simon's wife's mother, this is Peter. Peter was married, and his mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her. So he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Drop down to verse 40 in that same chapter. It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with his compassion, did what was unlawful against Jewish rules. He's going to touch a leper. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Chapter 3. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had affliction pressed about him to touch him. Chapter 5. This is a woman who's been sick for a long time. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And she was. Chapter 6. Whenever Jesus entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Chapter 7. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him. Number 3 times people begged. They begged him to put his hands on him. And I'm not making a case that we beg God. Just hang on with me. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ear. I don't know if it was a wet willy or what, but he spit and touched his tongue. And the guy was healed. Chapter 9, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, it's because he's ministering to a situation, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Mark chapter 10. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly ticked off, displeased, not happy at all. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven," or kingdom of God. "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Finally, in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who are apostles, prophets, pastors, preachers." No. "These signs shall follow those who believe." How many believers do we have here today? "These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." The power of Jesus' touch and people touching Jesus in Mark's gospel brings into focus the powerful potential of our touch in people's lives. We've been commissioned to do this, to touch people. It's a biblical practice that we as believers should engage in faith, believing that God's going to work through our hands. This morning, I want us to become filled with a sense of mission, divine appointment to touch our world, the people in our world. Now, as we pointed out three times in the verses that we had read, we saw how people were begging for a touch. People were crying out, begging for a touch, and the world has not changed. Jesus has given to us the power to touch in his name. Now, we begin in Mark chapter 8. This is where we read that Jesus was dealing with a blind man, and he laid on hands on him more than once. And this is the only instance we have recorded where more than one touch was involved. So why a second touch? Why more than one? Well, at the very least, it does have this message that there are things that are never going to come to wholeness until the people of God, you and me, until we get about ongoing, continuing touch. There's a world begging for a touch. And it's not just going to be one touch that's going to make the full difference. In other words, lay hands on people a plethora of times. More than once, as much as needed. You know, we all have read about it, maybe even experienced that there's tremendous therapy just at the human dimension of touch. You've been in physical therapy? I mean, they may crank you around every which way, but then they want you to do things that you don't want to do because it hurts. But it shouldn't surprise us that there's such power in human touch. Since God formed us by the touch of his own hand, and what the Creator does transmits into his creation. In the image of God, transmitted to humanity, there are certain things, however polluted they may have become due to sin, there's still a residue of power in them. Most of us have read the studies about, you know, babies who in infancy don't get touched much, don't get handled. They're just kind of left to themselves. And an impact that that has throughout the life of that child as he grows up. And Jesus made it clear that we need to, I don't want to presume anything. I'm going to assume most of you know this, but just so that we're just in agreement. I just encourage you, when you're around little kids, especially the taller you are, don't hesitate at all to get down. Get down at their level and speak to them as close as you can, eye to eye. Because big people to little people can be very intimidating, you know. And then just to reach out and just touch them on the arm and just pat them on top of the head, believing that you are ministering the love, the acceptance of Jesus to that child. Do we need to go back and read the verse? When that is avoided or feel like that it's unnecessary or that kids should be seen and not heard, you know, that kind of attitude, go do your thing and you know, let the adults carry on the real business here. Jesus is not happy with that attitude. Okay? Just word to the wise, okay? I don't mean to preach this. I'm meddling here or trying to make any other point in it, is that you have power in your touch. And you think, well, why would any little kid, you know, whether I'm connected to them or not, you know, relationally or whatever, why would they care? Because you represent a big person. And kids get all kinds of mixed messages about adults, big people. And they need to know that there are people who love them, that care about them. And you can express that. You should express that. That is part of our commission. What I'm saying is we can go from children to whatever you think are the more weightier things in life, dealing with people's problems, real problems. Kids don't have real problems. Adults have real problems. Okay, fine. But you don't want to neglect the full measure of what we've been called to do in ministering to people. And kids are people too. Okay? So, God who speaks things into being has given us the power of life and death in our tongues. Proverbs 18, verse 21. We covered that last time. So, but there's also a powerful potential that's in our hands at the natural level. But even beyond that, Jesus has said that when we go in his name and touch, lay hands on, help and healing will come to people's lives. The love of God will manifest with power through a church that moves with its hands. Look, I, you know, everything in our world has become politicized and weaponized now. Everything in our culture. And I'm not wanting to pile on that, but it's no mistake that beyond just the natural, logical things that may have been present during COVID to separate and keep your hands to yourself, ultimately, at the root of that, however it manifested, I want you to know that there's a very real devil who wants to keep people apart. No contact. But as the preachers of old used to talk about, there needs to be a point of contact that you reach out and you engage in by faith. Because it's not so much the point of contact, it's the faith in you doing it that releases God's power because you believe him. It takes faith to please God and receive what he has in store for us, what he's made available to us. So, we need to move with our hands, functioning as the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ in our world, under his direction, at his prompting. It's interesting how else, and I'm going to cover these very quickly because it's not our main thing this morning, but it is connected in parts of these. It's interesting to see how the Bible portrays the use of our hands. I mean, throughout the Psalms, the book of the Psalms, hands are raised in worship. Let me just read you a couple of them here. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, "Thus I will bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name." Psalm 134 says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." We're called to not only bless people, we're called to bless the Lord. And one way is by the extension of hands. We bless the Lord. And yes, we speak well of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are my God, that you are my righteousness. You're my very help every hour in need. You're ever-present help in time of need. I bless my God because you are that. Now, we come to the New Testament, and we're given instruction. But unfortunately, something gets worked out. But Paul addressed that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. But the moment anybody starts talking about anybody, particularly men, lifting their hands before the Lord, they get mad about it and they doubt its validity. Well, as a good Baptist, as a good Methodist, as a good Lutheran, we don't lift our hands. Okay? What about as a Christian? What about as a follower of Jesus? Somebody who claims to believe in the inspiration of God's Word. Many, many years ago, when I first came here to pastor, there was a minister down at Clearfield United Methodist Church, Francis Stockton. And in one of our ministerial meetings, he was talking about that he had somebody in his congregation accuse him of being a charismatic. Because after the offering, he says, I would pick up the offering plates and I would lift them to the Lord and thank God and ask God to bless the people. And that very act of doing that, somebody accused him of being charismatic as if there was something wrong. Well, it always amazes me that people, again, they want to get political religiously instead of just going to the Scripture, because Old Testament priests would lift up offerings all the time to the Lord, and he was simply following in that mode, and he kind of laughed it off. But anyway, he telling me, because he knows that I am charismatic. So anyway, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, and don't get mad about it, and stop doubting. Listen, there's no joy and peace in doubting. Romans 15 says there's joy and peace in believing. Believe. God, I don't understand, but your word says to do it. So I'm going to do it. And the second thing that the Scripture talks about, Galatians 2:9, we're not going to read it, but hands are indicative of receiving or accepting. It's extending the right hand of fellowship. It's affirmation, something to be done in the name of the Lord. A third thing, in Acts chapter 13, the first few verses there, hands are laid on people as they're commissioned, as they're sent forth in ministry. And then most of us are familiar with James chapter 5, verse 14, 15. Hands are to anoint with oil those who come for prayer. And then the verse we read, number 5, in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. Every believer, that's you and me, every one of us, we are qualified to lay on healing, helping hands. The Bible is full of God doing things through the hands of His people. There are hands clapped in joy and praise to the Lord. Now, that's just one aspect of clapping hands. You know, the clapping of hands is also an instrument of warfare in Scripture. Another day, another time. Hands are waved before the Lord in worship. Hands are struck, clasped in making contract or an agreement. We use our hands to work with. And God chooses to use our hands to work with. He works through the hands of you and me, His people. Again, Mark 16, 18 says, Jesus says that those who believe will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That's not only a promise, it's a directive. All of that is part of the Great Commission, that we are to go in His name. Laying on of hands to bring recovery is not to be thought of just to limited to physical sickness, because there are many things that people need recovery from. It says they shall recover. Have you lost things that you need to recover from? There's losses in life. I need to recover from this. Anyway, your hands hold the power in touch. I'm going to invite you, just humor me here if you will. Whether you're right-handed or left-handed, hold up your predominant hand. You know, the one that you... And as I continue here, just for a moment, I want you to periodically look at this hand. And I'd like you to see that hand reaching out and touching with compassion just the arm of someone that you're talking to. Someone who may be in grief or under some heavy burden, just touching the shoulder. In Jesus' name is a touch of support, a touch of acceptance, reaching out saying, you're important to me. I appreciate you. Reaching to touch and join in prayer, expressing agreement in faith. Hands convey blessing to children as well as adults. I want you to turn to somebody right now and just tell them, I'm going to let the Lord work more through this hand. Go ahead, tell somebody, I'm going to let the Lord work more through this hand. It's been well documented that in our technological society, there's a growing need and hunger for people to be touched at a human level. High tech requires high touch. People need touch. Listen to me, stay with me, because even in a world where touch has been polluted, where it's been used wrongly, abusively, it's still begged for. People, not the wrong kind of touch, but God's touch through our hands. So often, the touch, instead of expressing caring and love, it's the first move toward exploitation. Touch that's been corrupted through lust needs to be redeemed and restored to love by God's power. Listen, the cure for improper use is not disuse, it is proper use. And we need to set the example. Of course, you don't put yourself in compromising positions, but you need to be obedient to the Lord and trust Him. Because people need your touch. They need to know the power, the love of God coming into this world and touching them. And it's going to happen through us. Well, Lord, you touch them. Okay? No, that's what He's commissioned and sent us to do. I'm sure the reason Satan motivated humanity to stretch out and nail the hands of the Son of God was because Satan hated what Jesus did through His hands in undoing all that He was working against people's lives. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead, and those hands that were scarred have been released to work powerfully through the life of the church, you and me. We are His body. And so if the hands of Jesus are going to touch our world in our time, it'll only be through our hands. There's got to be at least a couple of people here this morning or watching online that are saying, but Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but my hands are soiled with sin. I feel so disqualified from letting the Lord use my hands. What can I do? Listen, for all of us who at times do feel that way, let me tell you what you need to do. The example is in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah the prophet is standing. It's in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good king, and much like in our world when we feel we have a good president and that president is no longer in office and we think, oh, what's going to happen now? Isaiah was feeling those tensions for his people, for his nation. But he finds himself in the presence of the Lord and he says, I'm in the presence of God and I am unclean. I am undone. But then an angel comes and takes tongs and takes a coal from off the holy altar in heaven and comes and touches him and says, you are now cleansed. You're now purified. Now, what does that mean for you and me? For sometimes think, yeah, but my hands that I work with, they're just not dirty from the actual work, but, you know, I've worked figuratively and done wrong things. I've worked against people. I've worked to undermine. I've worked to whatever it is that is just not worthy of a follower of Jesus Christ. There's times that I've used my hand in wrath and anger. Whatever it is, what do we do in those points? Well, like Isaiah, this is what we need to do. We need to follow the injunctions of Scripture. We're to lift our hands in worship. And as our hands are up and open, not this, oh, yes, God, I understand some people. Open your hands. I don't want anything left, because whenever I'm lifting up my hands in the presence of God, there comes a purifying of anything that stains them. So I'm not going to fold them. No, God, I'm going to spread my hands because I want you to deep clean between my fingers everything. Lifting my hands in worship because there's purifying power in worship. The presence of the Lord will purify my hands. And then whenever I bring them down out of the presence of the Lord, they are now anointed to minister to people around me, to help, to touch. And that needs to be our attitude. It's simple. You say, well, that's ridiculous. How can lifting my hands, whatever? Now, you don't have to. Lifting your hands even this high, you know, the rock the baby one. Whatever. Let me just tell you what goes through my mind. Because I lift my hands at all different levels. But when I'm at worship, I make sure that I lift my hands. This is just me, okay? I'm just testimony here. I lift my hands above my head. Because this is where the center of my thinking is. And sometimes I have stinking thinking. And I can't figure things out and say, God, the works of my hand, the things I can't through work figure out, Lord, I'm reaching above to you beyond my own capabilities, my own resource to figure it out. I need you working in and through my life. You see, these things, such as simple things that Scripture prescribes as lifting our hands to the Lord, there's multiple implications involved. It's not a charismatic thing. It's a Bible thing. And I'm a Bible guy through and through. The Bible says do it. The Bible says dance before the Lord. Guess what? I'm dancing before the Lord. I don't care. You can think me an idiot all you want. But I'm going to do what Scripture says, and I'm going to lift my hands because I need God's help. I need Him to purify the works of my hand. And all that means, work-related, family-related, everything, it's an action of faith. The promise is there. The directive is there. The purifying power is there. It's in worship. And as we gather to worship Him, He makes us. He qualifies us to go and minister. And God will confirm His word through us. Obedience to His word with signs and wonders following through our touch. So go touch in faith and expect His life to flow through your hands. I want us to stand. And I'm going to invite you, in fact, I'm going to invite you right now just to close your eyes, and all who will, just lift your hands wherever you're comfortable with, and would you pray this prayer out loud together after me? Just declare it loudly. Lord, I'm a believer, not a doubter. I believe that my hands contain your touch. I live in you, and you live in me, and I am ready to reach out with your touch in mine to accomplish in people what you will in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we need you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us, makes us qualified, makes us people who can minister. Lord, may we go and find that when we feel least anointed, least qualified, if we will just obey the word as believers and reach in touch to minister your love, to speak into people's lives, the Lord bless you. The Lord is going to sustain you and help you. Just to take someone by the hand. And I agree with you that God's power and provision is going to show up in your life. Lord, give us creative ways to touch people, people who aren't believers. Lord, just to come up and make brief contact, Lord, but we're speaking life in, especially the troublemakers in our life. Lord, they need blessing. We're called to bless, not to curse. We want to be faithful disciples, followers of you. Help us to do this in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.